Good morning and welcome to the program. It's great to have you along with us this morning. This morning I want to talk about fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. It means fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, or the share which one has in anything. Some people misunderstand fellowship, though. Fellowship does not have to involve food. It's more than a potluck dinner at the church building. Fellowship does not even have to take place inside of a church building, but fellowship does involve others. And fellowship is a sharing, working relationship with each other as an ever-growing spiritual family. So how do we fellowship? Well, we can fellowship by eating together. We can fellowship by visiting one another, just simply being together and showing each other how we love each other and doing things for each other. But the question is now, who should we fellowship? If you turn to 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, we see that we must fellowship God. We read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was in the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. But if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So we must have fellowship with God. However, fellowship is twofold. We must fellowship with each other as well. Jesus prayed for our fellowship in John chapter 17, verse 11. "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." And we see that the apostles had fellowship with each other. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." And the apostle Paul urges fellowship in Colossians chapter 2 at verse 1. He says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." We must first have fellowship with God, and we must have fellowship with man. However, we must only have Christian fellowship with those who do the will of God. There are many religions in the world today, but just because people are religious does not mean that we can have Christian fellowship with them. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" See, light and darkness cannot exist in the same place. There's either darkness or there's light. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And just because someone calls themselves a Christian doesn't mean they are Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 reads, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." You see, there are those who may be seeming to teach the truth, and they may be sincere about it. But Paul goes on in verse 13 and says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who will go in by it." In other words, make sure you follow the right path. There are those who won't, and there won't be very many who actually follow the right path. Jesus continues in verse 15 of Matthew 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." People are going to try to fool us, and we cannot give in to Satan and his disciples, even if what they are teaching sounds reasonable. Just because they speak of Jesus does not mean that they're teaching the truth. We continue in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You see, we can't have fellowship with these type of people. If we accept their false teachings and have fellowship with them, we fall into the category of the people who will hear, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Why would God have told us these things if they weren't true? Why would he have told us that there's going to be false prophets and those who try to distort the word of God? He wouldn't have told us that if it's not true. The fact is, we cannot turn a blind eye to those who teach anything contrary to God's will. And we just have to accept the fact that there are friends, co-workers, fellow students, and even family members in the denominational world that are lost. But we can save them by teaching them the truth. So where is fellowship found? Well, fellowship is found in the church. We read in Acts chapter 2 at verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And there is fellowship in worship. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir one another up to love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." and there is fellowship in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And those who fellowship Christ are part of Christ's body. Romans 12, 3-5. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You're either part of the body or you're not. And there is only one body. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4-6 says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Are you part of Jesus' body? Are you part of the church? There's only one way to have Christian fellowship, and that's to be a Christian. And based upon the plan of salvation that God has given us in order to become a Christian, one must, upon hearing the word of God, believe it to be true, repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Any other way is not valid. You can't say a prayer and expect to become a Christian. You can't tell somebody else you want to become a Christian and expect that they can make you a Christian. Only following that plan of salvation will make you a Christian. Not just anyone can call themselves a Christian and be telling the truth. People were going to fool us. One man sat at a stoplight. The woman in front of him was going through papers on the seat of her car, and when the light changed green, she didn't go. A green light is not a suggestion, you know, it's more of a commandment, but she didn't notice it. When the light turned red again, she still hadn't moved. The man in the car behind her now started screaming obscenities and beating on his steering wheel. A policeman tapped on his windshield. "You can't arrest me for hollering in my car," the man said. The cop asked him for his license and registration, returned to his car, talked on the radio for a while, and finally handed the papers back. The driver protested. "I knew you couldn't cite me for yelling in my own car." The officer replied, "I didn't want to cite you for shouting in your car, but I was directly behind you at that light. I saw you screaming obscenities and beating on your steering wheel, and I said to myself, that man is out of control. He's going to hurt somebody. Then I noticed the cross hanging on your rearview mirror. The bright yellow Love is a Choice license tag, the Give Peace a Chance and Prayer Changes Things bumper stickers, and I was sure you must have stolen that car." You see, just because someone appears to be righteous doesn't mean they are. Who are you? Where are you? Are you with Jesus? Or are you with the world? Make sure that you're righteous. And if we can help you, let us know. My name's Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. Give me a call at 304-727-0761, or you could email me at wvdj105@aol.com. You could stop by and visit us for one of our services. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 for Bible study, at 10:25 for a morning worship, and then again at 6 in the evening for worship services. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Stop by and see us if you'd like. If you want, you can look us up online at www.washingtonstcofc.org, or you can check us out on Facebook at Washington Street CFC. If you're not in the St. Albans area and you would like to attend the services of a Church of Christ, get a hold of me and I'll get you in touch with someone who can help you. Remember, the Churches of Christ will never ask you for any money or anything in return. We just want to sit down and study the Bible with you. We thank you so much for joining us here this morning for Words of Truth.